demons even. My demons are also principalities and powers that are watching, though it doesn't ever really affect them. But the fact is that they are in the atmosphere and they are watching. And when Job gets through the trial, there's no question that Satan is somehow humiliated, proven wrong. Do you remember when, this has always got my interest, when the woman in Egypt was seducing Joseph and it didn't work, what did she say? Yeah, but she said, this Hebrew is mocking me. He's mocking me. And you know what? In a way, that's what our lives do to the devil. Yeah. We're, you know, how about this one? The devil, listen, here's another thing about that. The devil takes Jesus into the wilderness. He shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And what does Jesus say? Not going to happen. I'm not buying. Guess what happens? The devil feels he's being mocked. It's humiliating. When you put your best try at it, you go out on a limb, you give him your best offer, and he doesn't bite. It's what you're treating me like I'm garbage. Yeah, you are. You can take all your garbage and go packing. I'm not taking it. So he feels it, just like that woman who gave it her best to seduce Joseph and he didn't take it. And she said, he's mocking me. And the answer is, he is. He is mocking you. You don't have what it takes to get his heart, because his heart is on something else. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
It's amazing. Yeah, John? Oh, okay. Yeah, praise the Lord.
I'd like to share
something. Yeah, Kathy.
When you talk about the devil,
the devil is waiting for our response, basically. He brings something and waiting for our response. And how we get our response, and I'm thinking of this one thing, there have been times in our lives where I would say to my husband, oh my gosh, how are we going to make this? What's going to happen if? And he'd always say, well, what's the worst thing that could happen? We lose everything, and we start over, and we have each other. And I'm sure that that really humiliates the devil, because that's not the response he's looking for.
Yeah, you know, every time we walk by faith, we tread on Satan's head, on the serpent's head. And that's why he does in those things. That's why God opens it up to us. That's why he hates us to hear the word of God. He hates it because it defeats him. He's a defeated foe. He was defeated at the cross.
Richard Warmbrand, his wife, persecution, they someone went through this test as well. But before they did, they said in their hearts that they would not deny Christ in this. So what the question would be is, and you mentioned the word, but what other things help us to go through this test? The trying of our faith and continue to stand firm.
I guess the word of God is what does it. I mean, there was prisoners in the wars. I know that they had one verse, and they had a Bible, and they would just take the verse and they would share the one verse. It was the word that they encouraged one another with. And what we know in the word, we just, it's there, and it's always there, and we got to keep going back to it, going back to it.
Build yourself up in your most holy
faith. Yeah.
One thing I can think about that kind of addresses that, Keith, and I wanted to pull it up, is Psalm 119:11 about hiding his word in our heart so that we may not sin against him. And In one of my meditations last week or this week, it occurred to me that to put the definition of heart into that scripture, and I pull this up because I don't know it off the top of my head. Here's the note. I went into the Strong's and the Vines and looked up heart, and where it says heart in Psalm 119:11, I substitute the definition of heart. So in the Vines it says that the heart is man's entire mental and moral activity, both the rational and the emotional elements. It's the seat of the physical life, seat of the moral nature, and spiritual life. It's the seat of grief, joy, desires, affections, perceptions, thoughts, understanding, the reasoning powers, imagination, the conscience, intentions, and purpose, will, and faith. So I would say that passage and say, and actually it's like a prayer, let me hide your word in my affections that I might not sin mm-hmm. against you. Mm-hmm. Let me hide your word in my desires that I might not sin against you. Mm-hmm. Let me hide your word in my imaginations, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, that I may not sin against you. Let me hide your word in my reasoning powers, my conscience, my intentions, that I might not sin against you. And that word application, where you realize that your heart, you know, we have that definition of the heart of the soul, it's the emotions, the mind, the volition, conscience, and self-conscious, the essence of who we are. We need to hide his word in that, that we may not sin against him.
You know, the armor of God, we talked about that, is the first one you put on. Is you gird about your loins, which are your emotions. God will work on the emotions. I mean, Satan will work on the emotions. Emotions are good, but not if they're not guarded by the Word of God.
Right.
So we got to have the Word of God has to be straight, mm-hmm. and that's what we, because Satan will attack your emotions. He'll say that's not fair, and then he'll get you in subjectivity, and you will be in control. So no, you got to be in control. And instead of trusting God with all your heart, trust God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And sometimes your own understanding can be through like intellectual, biblical knowledge. That can be your own understanding. You know, some people used to ask me, are you Arminian or Calvinist? I said, I'm not either, because there's names attached to that. We're just Christian people. You know, and God uses simplicity. You can make it real, you know, you can make everything really complicated. But God wasn't complicated. You know, there's a bunch of words fly out there, right? But the ones things that work is the fruit of the Spirit and the work that God does in our hearts. And our hearts is who we are. And that's who our name is, and that's who people see us as. Because we're read by that. And I see in our church here, I see a change in all the people. I see a change in me through the Word of God, because that's not who I used to be. And I see who I wasn't used to be. So we can make it complicated.
Yeah.
We can make it sound real good, right? But we apply it here at our church. And that's what people see. They see the people's lives, the Word of God that's known and read by all men, right? They don't come in and they see somebody that's you know, that look what I know.
Yeah.
Look what I know. I know more than you know. That don't work. Look how smart I am.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you go hear a preacher and you say, and you leave and you say, well, that guy really knows a lot. No, but if you leave and you say, something changed in my heart. Something changed in my heart. What happened? You know, like Song said the other day, she came in and she was loved. Right? She was loved. She didn't know a whole lot of stuff, but her life yells out to me, and we were knitted immediately.
Yeah.
See, some people won't be admitted. They're subjective. Yeah. I got to have my say. I got to do what I... You got to listen to me. Right?
Yeah.
No. We got to love one another right where we are. Because God's doing a work, and if he's going to use you, he's going to break you, and you're going to be meek. Like Pastor Chris there.
Yep.
Amen.
He is really a meek man. He's always blessed me. God has to do a little bit more work on this guy. But.
Pastor, one thing, you know, I love simple because that's what I am. And one of the things that you said, that, you know, I remember this well, is that this must be one of the times that God's going to let us down. You know, and it's just like standing on the promises. That's it. I mean, it's the word, of course.
Yes,
those
it
basic
is.
Basic promises, the tools that we need to get us through those steps. Because those promises, you know, are true and forever.
It's life.
Yes.
It's life application of the Word of God. Mm-hmm. It is. The example I used that he's talking about was a time that Kathleen and I were in a thing to where we were totally broke. We had nothing. And she was worried about it. And she said, and I said to her, I looked over and I said, you know, this must be the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, what do you mean this must be the time? I said, this must be the time he's going to let us down. Right?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So then that's it. See, that's life application of trusting God, whatever it is. You know, like Paul says, mm-hmm. I have learned to be abased and I've learned to abound.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned to be hungry. See, God just wants us to learn simple stuff. You know, we don't have to, you know, wow them with what we know. We just show them how we live. And just like some Pastor Schaller said something one time, and I love it. And it was simple. I can never remember anything he ever said, but this I did. He was on an airplane, and this guy was, you know, trying, you know,
oh, yeah.
He was doing, you know, like, well, you know, I've probably said it a couple of times at church because it's a great quote. And the guy, you know, was trying to impress him, I guess. And he says, then he asked Pastor Schaller, says, what do you do? Pastor Schaller says, I teach people how to think.
Yeah.
And we do. We do. And that's a great quote. And that's what we do. See, we think with God. Let this mind be in you as was in Christ Jesus. And that's the only thing that we have that's any value. Right?
That reminds me. Pastor Monty was at a border crossing, and in these days, these border crossings were a little bit dicey because the Soviet Union was breaking up, and the border guards didn't know really who people were, and they were holding Pastor Monty back, and Pastor Monty did one of these things where he said he went there to the when, you know, he's getting trouble at the border crossing, maybe in Uzbekistan or one of these places. And so he goes back up there with a lot of confidence. He goes, you better let me go through. And they say, why? Because you don't know who I am. So they start getting a little nervous about it. And they let him go through. Okay? So it worked. Okay. A couple of years later, the same thing, and he did the same thing. It didn't work. They kept him there. Yeah, they kept him at the border for, I think, 2 days. Anyway, I forget how we're. What do we say?
He learned something in that, so it's part of his learning.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
You know what? It's such a joy to be with you guys because you're just so much right there. I mean, you're amazing. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
It's great. Mm. Yeah, John.
But you were talking about how God already knows the result. God knows we're going to come through like gold.
Mm-hmm.
It's done.
Yeah.
He didn't do that test to see as a science experiment. See how Job was going to pull it off.
No.
And I like to think of our job is to make God look good. That's why we're here, and it's rough because we're so rotten. But we make
especially
good,
some of us.
Especially, I mean, trophies of grace.
Yeah.
And I love this picture of God sitting up in heaven, looking out at the angels and glancing over the demons and say, and quietly saying, hey, check this out. Then he goes to Moses and says, I'm getting ready to wipe out all the people. he knows Moses is going to say, no, no, just take me. And God gets to glory because God sees himself coming out of Moses. God sees himself coming out of Job. Mm-hmm. God sees himself coming out of us, and he gets to brag about it. He said, look what I did. That's me coming out of Pastor Shower. That's me coming out of, and it's all set up ahead of time.
Amen.
Check this out. When I do this to so-and-so, check it out. Watch what he does. Aren't you embarrassing?
Yeah, it is. It's all a setup.
Yes.
Yeah. I did a message on that one time. It's called the setup.
Okay.
And it's like wherever we go, whatever we do, it's already planned because our footsteps are ordered. Mm-hmm. And we are Christ in that situation already. And you know, even in our failures, you know, I always wonder, I said, why in the world did he ever use Samson? I mean, I know he was strong and everything, but I didn't see anything else good about him. Did you? You know, I mean, he did. He glorified God in the end. It's like, okay, you know, God is glorified in it. But that's what we are. We're that living epistle. We're that letter that's written to one another and to the world. And that's why we're important to one another. We fit as that puzzle piece in this church here, or in the church in Miami. And we're jealous of Miami, you know, because they do so good. But we want them to do good, too. We want them to do great.
You guys got to stop.
Yeah. But we got more crosses on our walls.
Amazing sound. Don't be angry.
You got bigger walls.
You have more chips. I had I just want to quote a great man who said this. Yesterday in the morning. Sorry. He said too many believers are theoretical. What they know doesn't put treasure within them. So. Pastor McFarland.
See, I told you.
I love that quote. Because it went with what you said, Pastor Jeff. They all have it in their head, but it's not.
They want you to know it. They want you to know that they know the Bible and they're smart, but they don't live it. And you've seen it in your time being in ministry. The guys that they're carrying the briefcases and they got the little flowers and stuff like that. And they're real smart.
Yeah.
And some of them aren't even walking with the Lord anymore.
Yeah.
You know, but by the grace of God,
only
we're still.
Still plugging away. Yeah. I don't know. It's just. Cat.
I was thinking about the trials. It seems the opposite the way it's supposed to be. And I think of two couples. I think of Peggy and Danny Quirk, amazing saints of God. They lost so much in their lives, except that Satan was going, aha. But it was really a promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a promotion because they were the humblest, most loving people you could ever, ever meet. Mm-hmm. And then the second people I'm thinking of is Judy and Pastor Bill Alderson. And their grandson has leukemia, and they are going through it with them. But I remember at one point they lost their house, and he got into an accident and totaled his car. And he couldn't get to work, so he lost his job, and they had nowhere to go. They had six kids. They moved in with us, but they had to farm out some of the kids. How humiliating is that? And yet he and his wife, they plugged through. It's like God chooses these people. They are so humble. And with this same family, Judy told me this story. She said she was sitting in church, and the Lord said to her, you're going to go through a trial. And she was hearing from God, and he said, would you give me one of your children? Would you sacrifice? She said, yes, Lord, I would. And her two-year-old son drowned within that month. And she was sitting in church, and he said, right after the child drowned, he said, don't worry, you're pregnant. And she had no idea she was pregnant. That's a trial.
Yeah.
And but she was so, if you ever knew this woman, Judy Alderson is precious. Mm-hmm. She's just so humble and meek and precious. And I see that with people that go through trials. I'm sure that Job was quite a humble man mm-hmm. to have gone through what he did, to lose 10 children. Mm-hmm. But it's God's way. It's his economy. It's the way he does it. And the world doesn't look at it. They don't say, that's a promotion. They say, wow, man, that guy got screwed over. Yeah. That's bad yeah, stuff's happened to that family. Yeah. But we see it differently. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah. You know, being the you know, 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3, being those living epistles that are known and read, we are books and stories to the world, but to one another. Like, that story is dear. And we all are those stories to one another. That's what the body is so precious. We're in the library, you know, and we get to share our lives with other people. I mean, yeah, what do I got to offer? You think you got a lot to offer, you know, and if you're even suffering or whatever, it's or just being there and loving people, you know, the people come in, if somebody's missing, you miss them, and they, you know, you want to read a couple more paragraphs from them, and they're not there, you know, and it's good to see them in their countenance and to build one another up. It's like you read a little good story, you know, you see something that, and we encourage one another in a multitude of counselings or safety. But the body is amazing.
Going along with that, I think of Job after everything's taken away, and because he knows the word, because he knows God's nature, his character, he says, God gives, he takes away, but blessed be the Lord. You know, what a proclamation in that, you know, of losing so much to be able to look to the word, to look to the promises, and to be able to claim that.
Mm-hmm. I know that my Redeemer lives.
Yes.
I don't know how he would come up with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really was in his trial.
Right.
It is.
You know, the less we have, the bigger God is. It really is, because, you know, the eye of the needle, I work for a rich man. He's got so much distractions, and I've learned so much from it, because, you know, like you say, if we don't have anything, then we got God, we got everything. Mm-hmm. We're more than conquerors. Our footsteps are ordered. We're walking by faith, we're walking on Satan, and we're loaded. Mm-hmm. Because we do have doctrine, and we hear the word, and we learn it, we're learning all the time. We're students until the day we die. Mm-hmm. Just like Paul, all those, you know, you read the Psalms, and I love the Psalms. It says, teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Teach me. They're always, even though these guys are writing the Bible, or they're the pen that God uses, they're still saying, teach me. Teach me. And God wants us to be taught. You know, to be taught and to learn and to grow. And we're teachers as we walk around.
Can I read a verse just that maybe you guys can share on a little bit in light of what you shared? It's 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to men, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Of what Job went through, and the foreknowledge as you're sharing of Christ, how does that fit into that portion in our lives?
Okay, let's see. He makes a way of escape, right? We're able to endure it? Or how does it go?
No temptation has overtaken you.
Hold it right there. Such as is common to men. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
What temptations are common to men?
Pride of life, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh.
Yep.
That's the only one
that
is for me.
Yep. The temptations of the eyes, the heart, okay. What about, let's say, disease or sickness, death, broken relationships? How about a man maybe raising a family and his family doesn't talk to him anymore? Mm-hmm. You know, like mm-hmm. That happens. I don't know, is it common to man, you know? Losing money, losing somebody cheating on you, stealing from you. So this happens, right? In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So on one level, like we're all people, we know about being hungry, thirsty, not sleeping. Like life happens, car accidents, parking tickets, and all of this. Fiery trials, things happen to people. Okay, so we got that. Could you read it again?
Sure, the same one?
Yeah.
No temptation has overtaken except such as is common to man.
Okay, so there are the things that come to all of us, and they're all in one category. Like they're just common to people. Failure, sin, disappointment, and so on. Okay, then go ahead.
He says, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able.
Okay. Let's take a category of trials, 1 to 10. Okay, there's some that are much more serious than others, like Job is a 10. Mm-hmm. You know, the Alderson family, you know, a 7 or whatever, however it goes. And then some people have just a small 1 or a 2, right? But he is saying whatever it is that you would have, it's not more than what you could handle. Is that correct? Yeah, he knows your capacity. Would we say that?
Yeah.
Like your breaking point, right? And there are people that dig it out. They just quit. They just get out of it. They throw the towel in. They say, I'm done, I'm finished. But God is saying, no, you could do this. You're at a 3, and I give you the grace to go through it. But you're throwing in the towel because you don't believe me. Mm-hmm. You're throwing in the towel. You're saying, I'm out, checking. What is it? Tapping out, right?
Okay.
I'm tapping out. I'm done. It's like, you little person, you little cheater, you little liar, you are tapping out. It's like, I tell you that whatever I would give you, I would be there for you. You can trust me. That's the meaning, isn't it? Like, I am here, I am God, and you're just a little liar. And shame on you. You don't know me. You could know me, but you're cheating. You want out because you got no spine. You're not believing and trusting me. Okay, so after all those hard words, we all feel like, oh. But I mean, that's every man, God be true and every man a liar. Now, I need to hear these words when I'm in that situation, when I'm at a 3 or 4 or 5 or wherever God would put me. We have to believe that he could take us through. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Deuteronomy 8:3, I led you into the wilderness so that you would learn not to live by bread only, but by every word that comes out of my mouth. So that's where what Kelly said is important. Hide it in the heart that we would not sin against you. Learn the doctrine so that we could believe this about ourselves and our trials, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess Jesus would be the 10 is in Gethsemane, mm-hmm. and he could have tapped out and taken off and frustrated grace and lived in unbelief. But he got in there. He was in the game. And he did it. And that's why he's our hero. And it reassures us that we could do the same and follow him. Yeah.
I remember Pastor Stephen just said, he used to always say, learn to keep a positive relation to God at all times. That's our song, Bless the Lord at All Times.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a challenge.
It is.
It's like the enemy's like, oh, yeah? You're going to really keep. Where's your God? You know, it's a challenge.
It is.
It's like Hadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, really? You're not going to bow to me? Fired up. But then when they went in, they did an amazing thing. We saw that play up at the Holy Land where that was awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the fire's going, and they just jumped in there, and then there was Jesus standing in there with them, which was amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And when Daniel went to Persia, and they changed his name, and they wanted him to eat their food and learn their language and everything. And that one area, he allowed them to change his name. I mean, he couldn't make any decision about it. What was his name? Belshazzar or something. Okay, so Daniel becomes Belshazzar. He's learning their culture and everything. But that area about the food, he wouldn't do that one. And I like that, the picture, because there are things that I'm here in the world that I'm not going to make an issue out of. But there is the thing that I do make an issue out of. I'm not going there. So now I'm in a trial, you know. But then he shows me. So wasn't it he ate the the oatmeal, the porridge or whatever, you know, the boiled food.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And his face was fatter and he looked healthy and everything for 10 days. Yeah, so in the temptation, God had given him the grace. He walked through it, and he saw God, you know, in that way. And that's what you are saying. If I could continually have a volitional, you know, choosing with God, you know, as a habit, then that obedience is preparing me for the day when I have a bigger trial. Because I've been learning to live in that. So Daniel did that in the beginning of the story. And then later in the prayer, public prayer, or praying three times, you know, the next. So, okay, yeah, Pastor.
Yeah, we have all these trials, temptations, on the outside, on the inside. And, you know, they get us to act or to react or to counteract, you know, whatever. Because what do we want in them? We want nothing but comfort. Mm-hmm. We want comfort in those. We want it to stop. We want it to end. Mm-hmm. You know, we're looking at that way, and we're missing what God's trying to do within us. Mm-hmm. If you look at Job and what we read and went over today, at the end of that is really amazing, because it said he tore his mantle, he shaved his head, and then he fell down to the ground and worshiped.
Yeah.
How do you do that after going and losing all that, where what was deposited in him brought him to a place of worship?
Yeah.
And then in verse 22 he says, he sinned not, and he did not charge God foolishly. Because it's so easy to blame. It's so easy to say it's their fault or this is why. And we miss that to count it all joy, you know, when we go through those. And I did a message just, you know, 2 weeks ago on the, it says the trial. It doesn't say trials, it says the trial. Life's a trial. It's always a trial. And it's always to see what is in us. Is this faith genuine? Is it real in you? Or do you need more? Do you need more of the word? You know, and that, because that's what's being tested. We take it personal. We say it's against me, but it's against the word.
Yeah, but the test is the opportunity to apply the doctrine that you have. So the tests are going to be there all the time. All the time, and like you say, you try to deliver me from this test. You always say that.
Mm-hmm.
Always. I mean, I've worked. I had a job where I had to work with somebody I didn't like for a long time. But see, I learned long suffering, where I wanted to quit many times. But my wife encouraged me. She says, "No, don't quit. Don't quit." See, that's why it's in a multitude of counseling. There's safety. You have to have somebody to hold up your arm sometimes in the battle. And then you do that. and you know, God will have. That's why the church is so important. The assembly, it says to, you know, to, you know, the more the days approach, to do it the more often.
Yes.
So like today, every time we come to church, you know, the assembly, we should be there. That's what Pastor Stevens taught us. Every time the doors open. I remember we used to go to church. I mean, he had classes and raps all day, and then we had outreaches just about every night. And then we had, you know, Wednesday, and then two services on Sunday, and then we started again. You know, it was just like, yeah, three, and we were
in South Burbank.
Yeah,
I mean, we did.
And,
two in South Burbank,
one
in Scarborough.
Yeah. Did you go? I would go, get on the bus and go to Scarborough, go back to go to service.
Yeah.
Three services on Sunday.
Yeah. And we, that was all the time. And then there was a rap after the rap after the rap. Right? And it was. Yeah. You know, I was afraid to ask a question because I felt stupid all the time. You know, but you know, you should never do that. If you got a question, make, you know, ask the Pastor Stevens a question. You know, like, I'm gonna ask a question, you know, and then you felt so dumb. But sometimes if it was a question that really wasn't relevant, then he would take it in another direction anyway, right?
Yeah.
You know, he would just look kind of like look at you like, you know. but it was great to be able to be, you know, taught by people like that, and Pastor Schaller too. There's no doubt, you know, when we did the transition, my story, a little testimony on the transition. We had a trial.
Yeah.
It was a pretty big trial. I know it was a big trial on this man, but. We were going to come down here 2 years sooner, and Pastor Stevens, and we already had our house on the market and ready to go, and we were coming down here, and then Pastor Stevens said, he goes, you know, I know we gave you the blessing, I gave you the blessing, but I wish you would reconsider. I need you here. Mm. And you know what he needed me there for? So I could learn. Mm. So I could learn. I knew that's not really, he just wanted me to help hold up his arms.
Yeah, you did.
But he still, but it was for my benefit, because I got to see a front row seat of the transition. Mm-hmm. And there was no question in my mind that Pastor Schaller was supposed to be the guy that took over from Pastor Stevens. Mm-hmm. I don't know why all these other names come flying around and, you know, different stuff. I'm going, what? You know, but the Lord allowed me to be there to witness. You know,
it made the World Wrestling Confederation.
Oh yeah. Woo! Yeah, I know. Dusty Rhodes would the American Dream, he would have got body slammed in this. But the tag team, this man here got tagged by Pastor Stevens, really. And then he stepped up to the plate and has done an amazing job. Yes. It's a different job.
Right.
It's different. You got a whole different technique. It's all different, just like me taking over for Pastor Foster. It's different, but it's the same. It's the same spirit, just a different, just, yeah, we're different people. But, you know, if the people that are taught, the hearers, and it's all about the hearer, you know, the word is always going out there. But it's the fertilization of the ear. People don't get it. They say, that's shallow. No, this is shallow. This is shallow. If you're saying it's shallow, this is shallow.
Shallow.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, but it's deep. You know, it's the Word of God is always deep. And God uses the foolishness of this thing here, preaching, to get it out there. And all it does, and he, all he does is dial up what's already in your heart, and he brings it to the surface.
Right.
And that's
how. One thing to say, here's a simple lesson. Pastor Stevens is here. When he was alive, he's here. I'm here. Okay. He's finished. The Lord removes him. He's done his work.
And so do I go there? Like, and the answer is no. He's there. He is who he is. I am here. I am who I am. You know. And he did his work. I don't replace Pastor Stevens. I am not Pastor Stevens. I am who I am, right? And I just function in who I am. And I don't try to become like him, nor am I trying to take his place. I'm just going to minister in the ability that God gives me. And if it satisfies people, that's great. If it doesn't, then what are you going to do? I can't be anything other than what I am, right? And same with Pastor Jeff. There's Pastor Foster at his portion. He's gone. Pastor Jeff is here. Pastor Jeff is Pastor Jeff. And we're very thankful for who you are and your life and your walk. And that's it. You know, here we are. And if somebody can't, you know, need something more, you got to go find it. Amen. But you can't produce that here. I mean, you can't make us change and meet your need. You have to have God meet your need. And there are people that get attached to a leader, and they can say, you know, you're not Pastor Stevens, you know, you're not meeting my need or whatever. And you just say, well, like, this is the real world. You know, he's not here. And may God bless you. You gotta find Jesus. And maybe it means you go to another church somewhere and you find Jesus. And actually, to be honest, for some people, it might be very good for you to go try to find Jesus out there in the world, you know. I'd love to have you here, but don't hang around and cause trouble, because Pastor Stevens is not here. Right. Yeah. You know, go find Jesus, you know. It's your life, you know. And it's like, isn't it amazing that the world isn't going your way? You know, isn't that amazing? Isn't it good for us to have some troubles and get some depth and learn to love and serve one another? Instead of standing on the promises, people are sitting on the premises.
T-shirt.
That's like a Vance Havner quote, I think. Okay, thanks, Pastor.
Yeah, that's, you know, there's a personality thing. They look at the personality. They don't like Pastor Schaller's personality. No, but they don't. And or somebody comes into the church and they like Pastor Foster, and they don't like me for some reason. I don't know why. I mean, I'm almost perfect.
Almost like a coat of paint.
That's a good analogy.
The coat of paint. No, but we all have our flaws, and if you're looking for the flaw, you're going to find the flaws. But if you're just coming to hear the Word of God, and I know that when Pastor Schaller preaches and anybody, and Pastor Ken or whoever, and Pastor Chris, the message is coming to us too. The message is coming to us. I even when I'm preaching the Word, there's a rhema that comes and there's an anointing that comes that you're going, whoa. You know, I didn't see that, you know, but everybody is, like you say, in a different place on their walk. And if they're really listening, God is going to fill them up. But if they're not listening, they're going to find a flaw in it. And they're going to say, I remember somebody that came one time, a visitor, and Pastor Foster spoke this amazing message. And he said, that was shallow. I'm going, what? What are you talking about? When you listening, you know, that's the truth, though. And the thing of it is they were from a ministry because of emotionalism. And they think that depth is emotionalism.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's...
No, in Baltimore, we have an African-American demographic, okay? And the black churches are generally quite emotional. And the preaching style is, you know, yelling and so on, you know. But we have a lot of blacks in our church, and I ask them at Footsteps and other times, you know, when we're talking, why do you come here? They say, because, like, I can understand what you're saying, you know. And they kind of like then also like put in the parentheses, you know, like in the church that I go to, like I don't, you know, there's a lot of emotion, a lot of yelling and stuff, but I don't understand. So I feel like people don't make it like the charismatic, or we're just it's too flat. We are not very emotional, and they don't keep coming, you know. They may come for a little while, but then they don't. But if you become a hearer, and you really want to learn, like this brother Tim, who was, you know, this faithful brother, like I talked to him for a minute, first time I get to know him, and you guys know him very well, so. But just to say, for him to make that shift is a big thing. And the fact that he loves the fact that he can hear, understand, and he knows he's going to carry this with him in his life. Like messages that I heard 30 years ago, I'm still able to carry them. And when I have an empty period in my heart, I have this as my reference, a baseline. Is what I've understood out of the book. So I just say that it's a very common thing for people to make their emotions their God. And they would come to a meeting like ours and they would just say, where is God in this meeting?
Yeah.
And we would say, well, believe it or not, he is here. You know, sorry, but he is. What?
I don't get any cold chills.
You know, I haven't got a cold chill yet. You got to work on the cold chills. I get cold chills coming up my spine. You know, you got to have faith. You got to conjure it up. You don't have enough faith, brother. You know. You're supposed to got that.
Fine, I got
it. Okay. No, but see, you don't conjure up faith. You don't bear down to get faith. You know, you hear it from the pulpit, and you have to get faith like that.
But do you think that we should get some little emotional sometimes? Yeah, do you think we should?
Yeah.
Crank it
up.
Why not? Hallelujah. Why not? Have a good time.
Maybe.
What? Yeah, get some. Oh my gosh.
Emotions based on the word of God are always good.
Yeah, they're good. I tell you, praise God.
You do get some chills. You just have no anointing in your hearing.
That's true. But I mean, you know, I get emotional. I do get emotional because emotions are good. I mean, I get broken sometimes preaching, and I don't recover real quick. You know, I'm working on it. But you know, sometimes the word just when the anointing comes, and then you just break. Mm-hmm. It happens, and it does. And that guy knows it. He does it all. He can't sing. He can't get through a song without breaking. But but this has been awesome, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It is. Pastor, we're keeping him here. I'm going to step down, and he's going to.
Not letting you go.
He's going to be the. He's going to be the pastor here.
Thank you for making that possible. What? I don't understand.
Thank you
for
staying in
after
dinner.
Oh, yeah. Dinner.
Macaroni.
Come on.
I'll make meatballs.
No, but if we could say, if we have a vision like you folks, the terrible, you know, the tragedy, the shooting, Southern Florida, you know, the needs, you guys know, like young people, getting young people in the church, having a youth group. I mean, you have full-time jobs, you're just paying your bills, you've got this great facility, and we're just with you. I know what it is. I know I've done it. I have in Worcester, different places, just holding on and just praying for more people to come in. And I mean, it's a mystery how it all works, but God has given you a great portion, and they need it. So instead of
sitting on the premises, we're just standing on the premises, and we're going out in the highways and byways. Yes. Do you still have that float in the back?
Yeah.
I went back there last year and I looked at it.
That is a cool thing.
Really?
Yeah. You see it since we put the sign on it?
No, I got to go back there. Every year I got to look at it.
Well, you got to look at it. You got to walk all the way around it, though.
I think seven times.
Yeah, seven times.
But I mean, what do you go? Do you ever do any advertising? I mean, what, I don't know. What can I do to help you? What can we do to help you?
I don't know. Maybe on Grace Hour, plug us a couple of times.
Okay. Why do you hear that here?
I call. Yeah. Well, we're online.
No.
We
call online.
Oh, God, online. Okay.
I called in the other day. First time ever.
Was it?
Yeah. I was like,
don't do it
like,
too much. What?
I promoted the conference.
Oh, yeah, this one.
Yeah.
You don't want to do it too early. The day before is good enough.
That's what
you're
saying.
What?
He's going to
do it Monday.
I was like, good. Yeah. Yeah. What?
He's going to do it Monday.
Yeah. I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, those like Monday.
Hey, it's good.
We'll all call in. Yeah.
Yo,
you need help.
What?
We'll all call in and say you need help.
Yeah, we need help. Yeah.
You know, we were talking about advertising. We parked that float out front.
Oh, yeah.
For the longest time, and then people were offended. They actually made us move.
There's a lot of Jewish people around
after
here.
After a while, yeah. Just
we're taking up two parking spots.
Yeah.
You mean two we're out parking lot.
We had it out there. People, and then we took it for Christmas. And we went through the neighborhoods, and they all came out.
Yeah.
They all wanted to know.
Wow.
And it was great.
We're going to do it. We're holding it for next year. We're going to do it again next year. Take the float.
Well, it's just if we had it out there. You know,
we're not going to be in
the
parade.
It's
too
full.
This is like personal. And then people come out.
Did you go on the parade or anything?
We have people weeping.
They do the parade. Outreach Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
All
yeah.
And everything.
We shot this.
They all came out. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Santa Claus.